Oh, baby, let the good times roll. And that certainly happened at the Zurich Classic last week in New Orleans. There were plenty of crawfish, oysters, beignets to go around. It had an exciting conclusion as the Aussies took home the prize. Time now to bring in my man with the stick and the talent to talk about it, none other than Jay Randolph Jr. Well, Jay, man, it was quite a playoff.
It really was, and you kind of had the two countries against each other with South Africa and Australia, and you had a lot of those pairings going into that final day, Bob, where you had guys from the same country or guys that were tight or guys that made sense playing together. I think it worked out pretty good for a different style event that the PGA Tour puts on. I mean, you and I both remember the old days of the Disney Classic team event back in the day. I think it's okay once a year. I don't think it's something that the fans necessarily yearn for, but I think once a calendar year, it's okay.
Speaking of once, how about Graham McDowell? For the first time ever, he makes a hole-in-one on probably the hardest hole out there, that par 3 ninth.
It is amazing. You'll run into guys that are 18 or 22 handicaps that have three or four holes in one. And a guy like Graham McDowell gets his first. So, and I got a good spot to do it. Tough place to buy all the drinks, New Orleans.
That's for sure. Well, since 2017, Jay, the only other time a playoff decided the winning team, well, guess who was in the playoff and came out on top? Yep, my man. Cam Smith.
Cam.
Yeah. Boy, he has really developed into a fine golfer. He won that back in 17 with Jonas Blick. And he gets a couple of nice perks, Jay.
Well, absolutely. Not that he needed them, but he, because of the way he's playing and the way Leishman plays, I don't think they necessarily have to worry about it. But now they definitely don't. Because of the victory, they're now fully exempt through the 2022-23 season. And Bob, you talked about Cam Smith, who finished so well at the Masters in November of last year. He played decent there again this year. He's put together a stretch of 4 or 5 weeks where he's playing really good golf. He may be somebody to keep an eye on, ready to take that step to the next level at the upcoming PGA at Kiawah and our United States Open.
All right, Jay, good time now to give a little listen to what Smith and Leishman had to say following that dynamic victory.
I mean, it was just such a great week. We come in here quietly confident, I think, and we just knew we had to have a good time. We've played well before together in the same type of format, and we just went out there and had fun and got it done in the end.
Yeah, it was an awesome week. Obviously, Cam played unbelievably well. I was saying to him when we finished, if it had been an individual tournament, I think he would have won by a fair few shots. But I managed to not hold him back too much. But no, it was a fun week. I mean, the course was unbelievable. I hadn't been here for a few years, and the greens were firm, fast, even after 11 inches of rain last week. It was just, you know, all round a really good week on and off the golf course. You know, obviously New Orleans, a great city, and we enjoyed our time here and looking forward to coming back next year, I'm sure.
You know, Jay, it's nice to hear the friendship between these two players. I mean, one's a little older, one's a little younger, but they have tremendous respect for one another. And he's right. I mean, Cam Smith is barreling down that train track just seems to get better each and every week.
Well, and it's got to be beneficial to have a guy like Leishman, who's played all over the world, who has a world-class game, to be one of your guiders or a guidance counselor, if you will, to not just the game, but to life on tour and how to carry yourself and how to deal with all the commitments and when to take time off and stuff like that. That's the one thing that's kind of unique about this event. You do see, somebody asked me early in the week, how do the players choose, or how are the partners chosen? Well, an exempt player in the field can choose his partner if you're not an exempt player, you kind of have to wait and see from somebody who, or if you're an exempt player and don't have somebody you want to play with, you got to be paired together. It's kind of interesting how it seems like many times a lot of the guys that make their own pairing seem to be playing better than the others. And we saw that with a situation like Billy Horschel and Shreveport native Sam Burns playing together. As Sam Burns keeps cutting his teeth, they finish tied for fourth. Big week for Peter Uihlein, who you and I have been following for a long time. Just same thing for Richie Wierenski, as they birdie two of their last three holes to close with a 500 par 67, one of the better rounds of the day to get to 19 and finish at third. So while, again, it doesn't necessarily have the same feel as a individual championship, the benefits are huge that go along with winning a tournament or winning the money for a guy like Peter Uihlein, who still doesn't, I don't think Uihlein has full status on the PGA Tour.
No, you're right about that, but there's a golf cart waiting. We got to take a ride up to Valspar and the Valspar Championship played at Innisbrook Resort in Tarpon Springs, Florida, on the famed Copperhead course. Let me ask you real quick, J-Man, your thoughts on Copperhead.
I like it a lot. It's one of the more underrated. Well, it's probably not as underrated as it used to be. I think people are figuring out when, with the Florida swing and the quality of golf courses that are played, when you look at PGA National, you look at Bay Hill, you look at, obviously, the TPC Sawgrass, you throw this bad boy in the Tarpon Springs area. It is a good, good golf course. And while it got canceled last year due to the COVID situation, we got a three-peat that might be coming for our man, the Englishman, Paul Casey, who's actually been playing some of his best golf since he won the 2019 tournament. So you've got that in play. The last player to win three straight, it's surprising somebody would do it, but not surprising it'd be this guy at this event. Steve Stricker winning the John Deere Classic 2009, 2010, 2011 in the same state where he played his collegiate golf at the University of Illinois. And Bob, you got a great field here because you got a lot of guys who, just because of the time of year and the team event, opted not to play in New Orleans. You got a lot of guys trying to get ready for the PGA coming up, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Some strong horses in this field. Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, they're both in there. Patrick Reed, former Masters champion, and two-time runner-up at Valspar. Corey Connors called a tee-to-green machine. So this is a great golf course with a great field. Phil Mickelson's in it, and you were just talking about Peter Uihlein. He's going to be playing. Scottie Scheffler, he seems ready to bust out. Justin Rose seems on the way back. Bubba Watson. Golly, Jay, I could go on and on.
Well, and I'm just going to throw one more at you, and that's Vic Hovland, who seems to be a guy that, you know, that this would be like the perfect tournament for him to win, or Scheffler. I mean, those are guys that are in that second tier that are on the edge of getting to that first tier with the Morikawas and the DJs and the JTs, like a Hideki did with his win at the Masters. And how about this? Michael Vasaki qualified for his first PGA Tour event. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the video. The 27-year-old from Sarasota, he turned pro in 2014, just after playing one season at UCF, University of Central Florida, and really a cool situation with him getting to call his dad and say, "Dad, I'm playing in a PGA Tour event." You know, that still sometimes gets me. I mean, these guys are making a lot of money, and they're going to be making an even more amount of money. The top heavy guys, for whatever reason, they're going to get more bonus pool, more money smothered in money. That was really cool to see this Michael Vasaki, and hopefully he plays very well.
Yeah, that is a very cool moment when somebody achieves something like that and shares the news with their dad. Michael, congratulations, and I think with your talent, you're going to have a pretty darn good career on the PGA Tour.
All right, now let me ask you this, because I mentioned the impact program or the money program, the money smothered in more money. You know, we had had the talk. This all started with Norman and the World Tour back in the day, and that's essentially what we've got right now. But we've also seen the talk of, in the last year or two, of another tour forming or maybe trying to grab a couple of guys. I guess this is a move where the tour is trying to make it a little bit more enticing for the guys at the top. But the amount of money, Bob, that they're going to spend and what that could do for some of the secondary tours or the Corn Ferry Tour, I'm just not sure that this is the right play.
Well, it's purely designed, as far as I'm concerned, to throw some bones Tiger's way, not that he needs any bones. And on the surface, when I take a look at it, Ricky Fowler could be the highest pay earner because it's based on how much time, as I understand it, how much time you get up on the screens. Help me out, Jay.
Well, when you look at things like this, when it's judging your off-course factors such as Google searches and social media. I mean, so you may have a player that may not be playing at a top level, but is still one of the most searched guys on Google. I just think $40 million is a lot of dough. And you think about what that could do spread amongst programs or whatever. It tells you, first of all, how much money the PGA Tour is making and how well they're doing. And I think there's a lot of other things that could have been more beneficial than this. But we'll let them see what happens. At the end of the year, the player that finishes atop the leaderboard will receive $8 million, whatever this player impact program and the factors that they come up with. It seems like they're trying to make the 40 most popular guys the beneficiaries. And I guess in a way there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just not sure that this is the right way. I always like letting your clubs do the talking, not your Google searches.
Hot topic, when talked about, hot topic, you see.
You had the opportunity, Bob, to talk with Tag Marshall's founder and CEO, Bodo Seibert. He created a system of keeping players moving on the course, which is so important, and we know about the pace of play issue. It creates an opportunity to play faster and enjoy a round even more. Of course, it also allows the course, like myself at Sullivan, to make better use of the tee times. Because for folks that don't know, a tee sheet at a golf course is their Bible. It's their way of making money. It's their way of tracking money. His system is being used by a lot of well-known golf courses. So let's hear Bob chat with another interesting guest, Bodo Seibert, about what's going on with Tag Marshall.
Well, I have to be honest with you, listeners of the Grill Room, very rarely do I have the opportunity to present a guest that probably has the potential to help everyone that's playing this wonderful sport of golf. His name is Bodo Seibert, and believe it or not, he's a former star rugby player from Germany. Now, Bodo, to get things started, how did you go from a rugby player to be involved in this wonderful sport of golf?
Bob, thank you so much for the kind introduction, and absolutely no pressure on me after what you've just told everybody. you're quite right. I played a lot of rugby in my younger years and in my university years. And then I started a career in technology and building software systems. And as it happened, a good friend of mine that I used to play rugby with came to me one day and said, I've just had the most horrible experience on a golf course. It was a beautiful Saturday. I was out with my mates on this beautiful course. And then on every single hole, right from the 10th, we had to wait on two groups, and later even three groups were bunched up on the tee. And it was just, incredible. How could they do that to us? And I was out there because I had all this time thinking there must be a way that we can do this better. And then I thought of you, meaning me, and you're the geek, you're the tech guy, and you've got the team that can maybe give that some thought. And that's how this whole idea came into being. And that's where, for me, where I did not know the game other than watching TV and obviously following some of the big majors and so on, I very quickly realized this is a really interesting traffic problem that golf has. And we could use some of our expertise in GIS systems and business intelligence and data visualization to really create something that would help the operators and the players in many ways. And lo and behold, 7 years later, I'm talking to you on your interview.
Well, that's a pretty amazing transition. Something else that really is amazing, the pandemic that the globe is suffering from has at least produced one bright spot. More and more people are taking advantage of being able to play golf. They're on the outside. They're able to, distance themselves and stay safe and get exercise. And you have come up with a system, as I see it, called Tag Marshall. And how does this system of yours, Tag Marshall, make play faster, which certainly means more enjoyment for everyone on the course?
Yes, so we have obviously been going way before anyone's ever heard of COVID, and we were making the game faster before that. It's a great question. So how Tag Marshall works is we do essentially three things. So it's an optimization system that helps golf courses run their course traffic and control it really well. So what happens is the play time comes down often quite significantly. The course has got control over the playing groups, because as you know, there might be a few groups out there that are unaware, or they're looking to for lost balls for too long, or they may be having a bad day out, and then they're impacting everybody behind them, right? So the whole field might slow up because of a few groups, and that is what we are needing to avoid. And that is where Tag Marshall provides information so that the club can go out and assist and make sure that that they can solve those bottlenecks and those traffic issues. So the first advantage is that the club can now do this better, which obviously the players love, and the club very quickly gets a reputation that, well, bad days don't happen here. And there's a second benefit for the club over and above the player experience, because you can control the space really well. And you're known for being a club that takes good care of their members and guests. That also means that you can now attract more players. And what you can do, if you control the space well, you can add additional tee times. And many of our clubs do that. And in the past, yeah, we know that clubs used to try and jam out as many players as possible, but the experience would suffer very quickly. So what they can do now, they can be better than they ever were in terms of the pace, and they can safely add tee times and still be better at the end of it, which is a huge business benefit. And you mentioned it, Bob, so the pandemic has gifted golf a lifeline almost, and many, I believe I just read that the NGF data said that 3 million people have started to play golf in the US in the last year, which is something the game has worked so hard for a decade or longer to try and create something like this. And it was always really hard going, getting people into the game. And now we've been gifted this. And we need to look after these people, right? We need to make sure they've got the best possible experience. And it's never going to be a case of, oh, I didn't enjoy that set, it was horrible, or I can't play golf because it takes too much time. So we need to look after them. And that is where Tag Marshall helps. It's a GPS-based system that tracks player movement and then presents data that's really easy to use for the club, so the club can make sense of what's happening out on the course, understand bottlenecks before they happen, and then go and run interventions. And we also have a system that talks directly to the players so that they can be more self-aware. So it's a really fantastic win-win for everyone. Players love it because it makes the experience better. The clubs love it because it makes them more money and it makes them more attractive. And as it were, we're also very fortunate in that we're on 30 of the top 100 clubs now. So this year, I believe, we've got Whistling Straits hosting the Ryder Cup and Kiowa hosting the PGA Championship. And there's a few more. There's always a few major hosts of ours that we're quite proud of being associated with out in hosting these amazing events. And yeah, if we're lucky enough, there'll be lots of fans about as well.
Well, if anything I've ever heard falls under the category too good to be true, it's certainly what you just told me. So I want to repeat it. Basically, what you're saying, we can get more people on the golf course and they can play in less time. That's reducing it down to layman's terms. Am I correct?
You are 100% correct. So imagine in the pre-COVID days when there was a traffic jam Monday rush hour on the street, right? Imagine you could do the same amount of traffic without any holdups, and now you can add 10% more cars and you still don't have any holdups. That sounds too good to be true, right? But on a golf course, because you have such controllable variables and it's actually a limited space, geographical area that you have to control, and a limited number of variables that are moving along it, you can get those results. And we have over 300 customers now who swear by it. And their data doesn't lie. They're producing it week in, week out, and there's amazing month-on-month or year-on-year improvement, and they're all saying it's the best thing we've ever done, and our players and members are thanking us for it.
Can I refer to Tag Marshall as a glorified traffic light system for downtown traffic?
it's a little bit smarter than that, but... ultimately, yeah, there are colors involved that you're very familiar with on our map that we're showing to the club pro and to his team. So for them, it's really easy to see where they hold up a building so they can go out and do something about it. And also, because we work with these amazing clubs, they're run by really good teams and really good managers. We also get to learn from them. What's the best etiquette? What are the best strategies, right? How do you approach a player? Because, Bob, the one thing that you know is no player, no matter what, wants to have somebody come over and says, hey, you're slow, get on with it, right? So there are better ways of doing that. And one that we've learned that I would recommend any club that wants to take this seriously takes into consideration is to just explain to the players, you're a bit out of position, meaning you're supposed to be half a hole or a hole ahead compared to where you are now. You're out of position. Let's work together so you can get back in position, which is a completely different proposition than me coming up to you saying, hey, Bob, you're slow, get on with it. Because being slow as a golfer is something that nobody wants to hear, no matter if it's true or not. So the golfers will then push back and say, it's not us, it's the guys in front of us. And we've got this perpetual cycle that nobody enjoys in terms of conversation. But if you have data, and if you have some strategies, and if you have a bit of a mutual understanding that it's for the good of everyone, that's when you get really nice results.
Well, our special guest, Bodo Seiber, founder and CEO of Tag Marshall. Now the important question, if somebody, a club owner, a club pro, or anybody connected in the world of golf, wants to get a hold of you to get more information, what is the best way to accomplish that?
Very easy. Tagmarshall.com is our website. Go there directly, tagmarshall.com. We have a team in Atlanta, not too far from East Lake Golf Club. And they're available to talk you through the system. And our website also has a whole host of information, including lots of case studies and webinars and educational material. So that's the best and the easiest way to find us, tagmarshall.com, T-A-G, Marshall with one L.com. That's all you're going to need to understand a bit better what it is that we're doing.
Well, Bodo, I can't thank you enough for sharing some time with us and providing an avenue for more players to enjoy this wonderful game. You are so right when you say nothing destroys a round of golf more than slow play. And with Tag Marshall, it seems we have a viable alternative to rectify that problem. Thanks for being with us on The Grill Room.
Thank you so much for having me, Bob. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you.
Many thanks to Bodo Cyber for spending time on the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Don't forget, if you'd like to drop us a line or give us your thoughts or opinion on the show, we'd love to hear from you. I'm SEO Golf Geek on Twitter, while Bob, the VOG, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka, VOG. Check us out on Twitter. That's it for this week. Things are starting to heat up. We'll have the results next week from the Valspar Championship, and Bob and I love that golf course down Charlotte Way for the Wells Fargo Championship. We'll talk to you next week.